Now, I started on this the other day when we were in on Sunday night, because I think it's very important. I did this for the kids at camp, and they seemed to get some help out of it. And you say, "Well, preacher, they're just, you know, they're not telling you the truth. They really didn't get any help. They were just being nice." Well, it might be, it could be that, but there's some things here that seem to help them. And I honestly had not really considered this before. Look at verse number. Oh, let's see. 3:2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His divine power, hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Notice how, through the knowledge of Him, hath called us unto glory and virtue. So the couple of things, and we talked already about virtue. That's that purity, that's that holiness, that's that moral excellence, that's the inner honor to do right when nobody else is watching. That's missing in Christianity today. That virtue is something that's a real thing nowadays. It's how close to the edge can I get and still be right? Just continuing to sort of hang over that edge where you're reflecting more of the world than you are the Lord. Well, everybody else does it, industry standard, all that junk that I mentioned to you the other day. You know, well, then nobody else says that it's wrong and that kind of stuff. Well, it's still wrong. The Holy Spirit can be quenched very easily by you not doing right. But notice he says this, that you be partakers of the divine. He says, precious promises, verse 4, that by these, the things he's fixing to show you, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now he's fixing to lay out what that divine nature is. But he gives you a responsibility, he says to you, and besides this, giving all diligence, verse number 5, you have to add to your faith. In other words, it doesn't just happen to you by osmosis. You don't just come sit in the church and Christianity jumps on you.
Right, amen.
Christianity isn't something that you do, it's something that you are. Remember the statement I made? You're called a human being, not a human doing. And so you're supposed to be a Christian. But in order to do that, there's some things you have to add. The Bible says this, that you be partakers of the divine nature, and then he says, give all diligence. That's everything you've got. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Father, we pray you might help us this morning as we look in these things, and we thank you for your many blessings. We'd ask now your blessings upon what it is that we're about to do, and we'd ask that you might fill us with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so now he says, add knowledge. What do you know about God? What do you know about how God does things? Come over to the book of Philippians, if you will, please. How does God work in your life? How does God speak to you? What does God do with you? What's your personal interaction with Him? How long has it been since you had some real interaction with Him? People get an idea, I think, in Christianity. I think a lot of times that what we think is once we get to be a Christian, that you hit this plateau and then you just stay there. As if we're finally full grown and then we've topped out, so to speak, like they talk about corn. It tops out and then tassels out and then the corn comes and then it's done. I think that Christians get that same idea. I think that, you know, well, I've been a Christian for 20 years. Okay, do you know more about Him at your 20th year than you did at your first year? Do you know more about Him 20th year than you did the 19th year? Are you farther along, as Paul said, and from this year than you were last year? Do you have a desire to be further along next year than you are this year? The knowledge of Him should be something that's ever growing. But that means He must increase and you have to decrease. That means you have to be willing to purge yourself. Now, this is not easy stuff. This is not stuff that's, you know, one of those things we run around and shout and be happy because we're happy to be over in Kadesh Barnea instead of being in Canaan where we belong. This is not stuff that'll make you comfortable at all. If you're comfortable where you are, you're going to be uncomfortable when we go through this study. Because your knowledge of the God should continue to increase. And that's not just knowledge of the Bible. Notice the Apostle Paul says this in Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 7. Now, Paul's our apostle, is that right?
Amen.
The Apostle Paul wanted to learn some things, right?
Amen.
All right, the Apostle Paul says this, verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things. How many things?
All.
Well, that's a hard thing, isn't it?
Yep.
You're going to get some preaching this morning. You know what the attitude nowadays is? Well, we have the 90-10 mentality is what it's called. I gave God 10% and He owes me 90% to live on my own. He gives me 90% to live. Who taught you that? You're a steward. You're not an owner. That 90% belongs to Him just like the 10%. You think you flip Him a tip and that everything's good. Hey, we're good. I threw a little tip on the table. We're good to go. Where'd you get that? Paul says, I counted all things but dung. I don't own it. I'm bought with a price. Well, are you or not? Well, I guess it depends. You know, well, Lord, I've been given 10% for all my whole life. Well, shouldn't you be upping it a little bit? How about 1% per year? Well, you want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, right? You want to grow in doing things for the Lord. We see that we're that way with everything else. We want to increase things. I've seen Christians that are willing to take risk when it comes to businesses. I've seen them risk their dollar bills. I've seen them risk their lives. I've seen them risk their well-being and all that. And when it comes to something spiritual, they wouldn't give you nothing for nothing. It's this security-minded thing. Safety-minded thing. No faith whatsoever. Well, God says it's impossible to please God without faith. So how's your faith? So, well, I'm pleasing to God. When's the last time you trusted Him to do something beyond that which you were able to do?
Amen.
When's the last time you stepped out on faith?
Amen.
See, it's strange, isn't it?
Right.
You know, the truth is, we're just a bunch of Laodicean, lukewarm, comfortable Christians.
Right.
We hadn't put God to the test in a long time. Well, Lord, you know, preacher, I'm just being cautious. No, you're not. You're not being cautious at all. You're being fearful. But that's in the message this morning. We'll get to that in a little while. Verse number 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge and the knowledge and the knowledge and the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Would it be fair to say this? Would it be fair to say that there's no way you can learn all about God until you turn loose of the things of the world? Isn't that what he says? I counted all things but loss. Why? I want to learn some things about Christ. We want to know some things, right? Okay, well then you can't know certain things about God until you turn loose of the world. That means the world and its ways. That's not just material things. That's the world's way of thinking. That's the world's way of doing. Here's how that goes. Well, we just always done it like that. The Bible says you made the Word of God of none effect by your traditions. There's a lot of traditions in churches today. Well, we just always, well, is it in the Bible? Well, it don't matter. You know, I'm just comfortable with that. Is it in the Bible? Well, I just like it like that. Is it in the Bible? When you turn loose of those things, you turn loose of your way for His way. Not my will, but thine be done. You want to know Him? Well, see, there's a cost associated. That's where every Christian stops. We love salvation and thank God for it because it cost Him everything. But buddy, when it comes to costing us something, our knowledge of Christ stops. That's where it started for you. He was willing to abandon everything. He left the portals of glory, came down Him, made Himself lower than the angels, and became a servant. Is that what He says? And he learned obedience by the things that he what?
Suffered.
Well, what do you know about that? You're willing to suffer the loss of all things? Well, let's just go a little further in the passage. Paul's our apostle, mind the Bible. Pauline epistle, right? Rightly divided, right?
Yes, sir, sir.
I'm not giving you something for the Jew, right?
Right.
All right, watch what Paul says. What things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, there it is again, and count them but dung that I might win, that I may win Christ. Has nothing to do with winning Him for salvation. It has to do with winning Him as far as knowing some things about Him. All right, so you want a tough one? Here you go. You ready? You suffered the loss of all things. Did you give Him your wife? Can't do without her. You won't know some things about Him then. You say, where do you get that? Ezekiel, I'm taking your wife and don't cry. Is she mine? Well, now, preacher, you know, that's, yeah, see, here comes the modern day theology.
That's right.
The Lord wants me to have everything. The Lord wants me to be happy. The Lord wants me to be abundant and be blessed and have all these things. Have you given Him your wife? How about this one? Have you given Him your kids? Genesis 22, Isaac. Did you give Him your kids? Calvary, Matthew 27. Father says, there's my son. Take him. You want to know Him? What do you know about knowing Him? The loss of all things. Oh, Lord, I'll give Him my business and I'll give Him my money and I'll give Him my... He's talking about everything. Have you given Him your heart? He don't want your head. You give Him your heart? He said, well, He's got my life. Your life ain't worth having. I don't mean to be rough on you. I've been preaching for a bunch of days in a row right now and I'm sort of just sort of on a trail.
Amen.
25, I think Brother Larry was figuring a while ago, 25 times in about 20 days or so. And trying to get something done. Say, well, that's too much. Kiss my foot. I don't care what you think, that's too much.
Amen.
Trying to get something done. You want to sit on your dead blessed assurance? Then sit on your dead blessed assurance. I'm going to get something done. I'm going to put the pedal on the metal until the Lord calls me out of here. You say, why? I'm a preacher. That's what I'm supposed to do. Well, we just like it if you hang around here. What? Feed fat Christians doing nothing? Why not go out and see some people saved? Why not see some people doing some things? Well, you know what? The nurse made you?
Come on!
For what? What are you doing with it?
Amen.
That I may know Him. What do you know about Him?
Amen. Good.
Well, you know, preacher, I know the Bible rightly divided. Yeah, I know. A lot of you had a whole lot better disposition than you got before you got dispensational, too. Now you're hung up in your knowledge, and all you know about Him is all you know what you think you know in your head. You haven't done anything for Jesus Christ with the stuff you do know. Have you given Him all things? Have you given Him your business?
Amen.
You give Him your house? Well, isn't that what He says? I suffered the loss of how many things? Well, you want to know Him or not?
Yes.
You know what He says to you? Stick it on the altar.
Right.
But you won't do that. It's how much can I keep and still be in the fellowship with the Lord? How much can I hold on to and still be... Lord, I gave you 10%. The other's mine. Who taught you that?
Right. Amen.
Good.
Who told you the other 90%'s yours?
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Doesn't He tell you in 1 Corinthians 6... You're not your own. You're bought with a price.
Yeah,
that means whatever you got belongs to Him.
That's right.
You want to know Him? Well, yeah, I want to know Him, but I didn't realize it was going to cost me that. I mean, you know, yeah, that's just what I'm talking about. Tenderfooted, tenderfeeted Christians nowadays, you don't really want to know Him because it's going to cost you something. The rubber hits the road, you're not willing to fight for it. You're not willing to shed blood for it. You're not willing to go get burned at the stake for it, get eat up by lions for it. You're not willing to have your tongue driven out the bottom of your jaw for speaking up for Jesus Christ. You're comfortable where you are. I'm just being honest with you. You say, well, good night, man. You're getting on to us. It's Sunday school. I ain't even started. Wait till church. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, we claim to know, we are Bible believers. We claim to know God better than anybody else knows. We don't know nothing of Him. You're still holding on to the world. You're still seeing how much you can hold on to. You know what you do? You equate God's blessings with what He allows you to keep. You don't know nothing of Him until you lost everything. You're not worth a flip as a soldier unless you're willing to die on that battlefield and never go back to the house and get anything. But you're not willing to do that. You just say, well, I kind of like Him like He is. He's not interested whether you like Him or not. He loves you. You get the mistaken idea that God's love's on trial. God's love's not on trial. Man, I tell you, I wish I hadn't come today. Good night, man. I never heard such. Well, it's time you did.
Amen.
Well, it's time you did. Well, don't talk to me like I'm a little child. What are you so offended about?
Right.
Why are you so bothered about it? You're not under conviction, are you? You know why? Because you're half committed, if that.
That's right.
You're a half a miler. You ain't a second. You ain't committed even to the first mile. It's just you're the whole time. You're thinking, how much can I hold on to? How much can I hold on to? How much can I keep back? How much? Well, what if God ever asked me to give something that I don't want to give? It ain't yours.
Amen.
That's like me going to my bank and trying to make a transaction and the money's in there and the bank telling me, well, you can't have it all. We're fixing to have a throwdown. And God comes to you and says, I believe I'll take that. And you say, well, wait, that's my 90%. Yeah, where'd you get that? That's where people are. Paul says this. He says, yea, doubtless for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. You want to know some things about Him, then it's going to cost you something. Otherwise, there's no way I can teach you anything about God at all. There's some things about God that you can't learn by studying the pages of the book. They're by experience. But number two, they're by willingness. You know why the Apostle Paul knew Him? You know why the Apostle Paul got to see heaven? You know why the Apostle Paul was willing to be whipped and jailed and stoned for Him? You know why the Apostle Paul was willing to be shipwrecked for Him? Do you know why? Because of this passage right here. I'm not down here to get and keep and hold on to this junk down here in the world, including my reputation. I want to know Him. The rest of the stuff you do down here, it's a waste of time. How much you get, how much you own, how much you have, how much you possess. I want this, I got to have that, I need this to have success and all. It's a waste of time.
Amen.
Do you anything at all unless you're doing something for God's kingdom? Doesn't amount to anything at all. You get up there to heaven and you've amassed a whole bunch of things and got a bunch of stuff. What, to make you safe? To make you secure? And then throw God an accolade and say, well, you know, God blessed me with all this. You know, yeah, you've gotten safe and comfortable with what you have. Would you serve Him if you didn't have nothing? Let me ask you this. Would you keep giving if you didn't get a tax deduction? Would you invest in His kingdom? No, I don't know about that, preacher. You know, I got to be careful. That's my money. That's my money. Where'd you get that? Go ahead, cross your arms and look at the floor. It don't make no difference to me, man. We'll get rid of you. Okay, fine. I got a few other places to preach. I want to stay here, but I ain't going to lie to you. Stinking, mealy-mouthed, spineless, rotten Christians. Just sitting around, how much can I hold on to? How much can I hold on to? It's my time. Really? Where'd you get that? Who told you that? It's my body. Who told you that? 90-10. No second miler in the bunch. 90-10. I gave him the 10%. Little tip. You give a waitress more than that if you got any sense at all. Paul says, I counted all things but loss. So, you know, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You want to win Him? You want to know some things about Him?
Amen.
Then dump everything else.
And
say, well, now, preacher, you sound talking like a fool. You've been preaching too long. You must be tired. You've been out in meetings all the time. Your head's too far in the clouds. You're so heavenly minded. I'm wow. With this security minded, grabbing a hold of, I got to make sure I got every base covered to make sure my flesh is going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
It's worm food.
Amen.
While you're sitting there guarding all the stuff you got, people are dying and going to hell, and your testimony for Christ stinks.
Amen.
It's rotten.
Amen.
Kill yourself working for the man, as they used to say.
Right.
Working for the world. Working to get all that stuff out there and don't owe nothing to Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
Came down here and said, I'm not here to amass a bunch of stuff. I'm not looking to get a house. He could have had one. I'm not looking to get a car or a fancy camel. He could have had all them he wanted. I'm not looking to get all that stuff. Junk at all, man. I'm out here going around ministering to people all the time. I'm not here to try to put my roots down here. I'm a nomad. I'm traveling through.
Amen.
Not Christians nowadays.
Right.
Amen. Well, if you want to know Him, see, there's a little more to know Him than you think there is.
Right. Amen.
You can't know some things about Him until you make the first step. That first step is Isaac goes on the altar and stays there.
Amen.
That's God's. It's not mine. Your job goes on the altar and stays there.
Amen.
Your house
Amen.
Stays there. Your wife, your husband, your kids, your grandkids, stay there.
Amen. Amen.
And the truth of the matter is, we don't want to know Him. Blah, blah, blah. I know Him. I've been to Bible school. You don't know squat about Him just because you've been to Bible school.
Amen.
You don't know Him by what you learn in your head.
Amen.
You know Him by what you're willing to sacrifice. You talk like a tree fell on you. Yeah, it's called a cross.
Yeah. Amen. Thank God.
Amen.
You know, when I realized when it fell on me, I ran from it.
Oh my.
There's a limited knowledge. Our knowledge of God is fill a thimble nowadays. We don't even have the faith of the grain of mustard seed. Because
right.
It's not real to us.
Right.
We're too busy trying to figure out how we can hold on to everything.
Right.
You need to burn the cotton picking ships.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
But you won't do it.
Amen.
You won't do it. Preacher, got to be safe. Got to be secure. Got to be comfortable. I'm good where I'm at. Don't ask me to do any more. You're scaring me now. It's not scare. It's not fear. It's conviction.
Amen.
Lazy.
Amen.
Not sold out at all.
Amen.
And what'll happen if somebody comes in here? You're not ready now. Somebody come in here with a shotgun, lined you up against the wall, said, I'll blow your brains out. You sell out so fast and make your head swim. Well, I ain't going to die for it. You say why? You won't even live for Him.
Right.
Amen.
Half the junk we got. Spend all the time trying to take care of it. Just kill yourself trying to take care of it. Stuff piling up on my desk. This junk's got to be done. Well, you need to get to all that junk that's got to be done. I'll be jumped. I've been busy doing something that matters.
Amen.
That stuff can wait.
Amen. That's right.
You need to return a letter. What, to another fat, overfed Christian? Sure, man. Yeah, man. Make sure, you know, because you're worried about your reputation, you didn't return the letter in 3 days. Busy. Be found in Him not having mine own righteousness, verse 9, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. that I may know Him. There it is. But we're talking about knowing Him, right?
Amen, sir.
You really want to know Him?
I do, sir.
You've got to be brought to the end of yourself first.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You say, how do you know? Well, let's just see what He says. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His what?
Yeah.
Oh, good night. I'm willing to die to know Him? Well, you said you wanted the knowledge of Christ, right?
Yes, sir.
You're willing to die? You're willing to die to your reputation? Your dreams, your hopes?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question. Suppose God called some of you old codgers in here and said right now, nobody else to go. Will you go? Would you get up and go?
Yes, sir. Let's go.
I know a 77-year-old man that packed up and left for China, and everybody said, you're crazy, you're nuts, you're stupid. And he said, yeah, whatever, I'm out of here. Some of you, well, I've done my duty. I've done my service. You won't never know nothing about the Lord. You're going to die right where you are right now and go to heaven and know nothing of God at all. You don't know anything about it. Selfish. Laodicea. The rights of the people.
Amen.
You want to know Him? It's going to cost you some things to know Him. You have to do some things. Look in Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. I don't mean to be rough on you, ladies and gentlemen, but it's about time somebody put your nose in it and rubbed it around real good. Made you realize that you're living your life, your life is being expended for the sake of your own self. You're selfish. You're doing your duty. You get worrying about the clock. Well, is it 45 minutes for Sunday school and an hour for church, and then I'm out of here and have my lunch and I'm done for the week. And won't crack your Bible and won't bend your knee and bow your head and won't have any time in prayer or nothing else until next Sunday.
Amen. Good.
Until your behind's in a crack so bad, just pinching the tar out of it, and you don't know what to do. And the next thing you know, you're down there trying to get a hold of God and God's looking at you like, you've got enough. I ain't giving you any more.
Amen. Amen.
Gripe and complain because the third car broke down. Boat blew up. I don't care if you got it. But make sure you got it and it ain't got you.
Amen.
Whew, I sure am glad He said that. Because, you know, if He asked me to put my boat on the altar, I just don't know, man. I got to have that. Yeah.
Come on.
I remember that movie. I know it was wicked as the devil to think this. Know where that came from.
Amen.
I remember that movie. That Schindler's List thing. So, old preacher, I saw that and there's some bad parts in it. I'm sorry, you hadn't got enough spirituality to rise above that foolishness in there. But I remember that guy comes at the end of that deal. He's trying to save Jews. And he's looking around the stuff he has. He says, that car, it could have got me a couple more. And this stick pin, it could have got me one more. And this could have got me one more. And bless God, some of you people are going to show up at the judgment seat of Christ and you're going to be like Esau, who's seeking repentance carefully with tears, and you can't find no place for it.
Amen.
I wish, I wish, I wish. Wishes go to hell.
Right.
Get up to the judgment seat of Christ. Well, if I'd have known, well, if I'd have known, you do know.
Amen.
You spend all this time just sinking it in and sinking it in and sinking it in and putting your roots down deeper and deeper in this world. And one day the Lord's going to come in with that sickle and cut your legs out from under you. You're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ and you're going to say, oh my goodness, I wish, I wish, I wish. Too late! Too late.
Amen.
What do you know about Him?
Amen.
Suffering, sacrifice. What do you know?
Amen.
This modern day Christianity of hold on to everything you can hold on to. God never intended you to be weighed down in this world.
Amen.
Keeping all that stuff, holding all that stuff, doing. He gave you a job. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you work to live. You don't live to work.
Amen.
You're out of whack.
Right.
Messed up, just sloppy, slothful, just who cares about the spiritual stuff? You wake up and the first thing in the morning is I got to do something to take care of everything I got.
Right.
The first thought in your mind ought to be, thank God I made it through the night. God, appreciate you overlooking me. And thank you for that breath, Lord. I sure appreciate it.
Yes.
I think what I'm going to do is put my eyes on the pages of the book. No, too busy. I did that yesterday. Okay. Help yourself. My time. Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's what modern preachers tell you. As long as you give God 10, He's good.
There you go. Right, amen.
Why don't you try giving Him 100 and see what He throws back at you?
Right. Amen. Amen.
How would you like if God reversed the roles and said, I'll tell you what I'll do. You give me 90 and live on 10. Yeah, no preacher's going to preach that stuff to you. You say, why? You'll pack up and walk out the door so fast, man, we'll have a mass exodus around here. They'll think we're getting ready to cross the Red Sea. My God, he's talking about total commitment. You've got to be kidding me. That's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. No, nobody preaches that. That's a cult. Okay, fine. Call it whatever you want to make it. But one day you stand up in heaven, and you're going to turn around, and you're going to look behind you and say, my goodness, man, he told me the truth about that.
Amen.
You think Jesus Christ is going to come down here and ask you to do something He didn't do Himself?
Come on. Amen.
If you're offended, good. Good for you. Glad you're offended. Proverbs chapter 4. Hear ye children the instruction of the Father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law. For I was my father's son, tender, only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my
words.
Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, for she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Can I ask you a question? What do you know about His words?
Amen.
You think Bible reading is just something you do to punch out a list or something? What do you know about His words? I'll say this for everybody, but I'm going to go ahead and give you a preview. If they put you on the stand right now in courtroom, you're a Bible believer? I'm a Bible believer. You believe the Bible? I do. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? I do. How many times have you read your Bible through? Yeah, all you good, godly, big-mouth Christians who want to run around and tell everybody what to do. How many times have you read your Bible through under oath? What would you be able to say? What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? You think 10 verses a day is good enough? Reading the Bible is something that requires a little bit of effort, ladies and gentlemen. You don't just do it when you feel like it.
Amen.
It ain't fun. It wears your flesh out.
Amen.
But you got plenty of time to watch the television and read the newspaper. You spend more time looking at the stock exchange than you do looking at His exchange.
Right.
What do you know about His words? I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. You're a Bible believer, I am. How many times have you read the Bible through? National statistic, less than 4% of Bible-believing Christians, less than 4% have ever read the Bible through once. That means if that statistic is right, 96% of Christians that claim to be Bible believers, I'm not talking about these ham and eggers, 96% of the people here haven't read their Bible through once. Well, what about you? What do you know about His words? Well, good night, preacher. I'm under conviction about that. It don't bother you at all to sit down and watch television for hours.
Right.
Yep. I'll show you something. Yep. I'm going to say it again in church, and I'm going to repeat it for the benefit of the people that aren't in here right now. Look in your Bible right now. Go to the last book, Revelation 22. See what the number on the bottom of that page is. And don't be apologizing for me, folks, if you brought visitors today. Well, I don't know, he's wound tight. I feel great. I'm telling you, man, there's a fire set up in my bones, man. I'm about to sink and catch on fire from the inside out. What do you got there? My Bible is something like 1,253 pages or something. That's what it is. It's 1,350 something there. All right, you got that? All right, now, real quickly, multiply or divide that by 30. You know what you'll come out with? Somewhere in the neighborhood of 45. That means 45 pages a day. And you can read through that thing in 30 days. Let's say it takes you 2 minutes a page. That's 90 minutes a day to read through that Bible once a month. Well, preacher, I can only give him 45. All right. 6 times in a year if you give him 45 minutes a day. If you read 22 pages a day, that puts you through the Bible 6 times in 1 year.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
What do you know about His words?
Amen. Oh, my.
Bible believer?
Good. Amen. Good. Amen.
Want to know Him? Well, He gave you a book. What have you read? Well, you don't believe you have to know the Bible, read the Bible to be a Christian. No. You don't have to read the Bible for salvation, but you've got to read the Bible to know how to be a Christian.
Amen.
45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes in the evening to put you through that Bible one time every month.
Yes, sir.
What do you know about that?
Good.
That's what I thought. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but truth. You're a Bible believer? I am. How many times have you read your Bible through? How long have you been saved? 50 years? That ought to be worth 50 times, shouldn't it? Okay. There's the math. 72 hours.
3 days.
I'd be willing to bet you this. That's 3 days through 24. If you had 12 hours, that'd be 6 days to be able to do it. If you spent 12 hours doing it, that'd probably be a bit tedious. I'd be willing to bet you this. I bet you that the majority of you in here watch a minimum of 4 to 6 hours of television a day.
Amen. Amen.
And you say you want to know Him? You're a liar.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Proof's in the pudding. Don't call me no liar. You're a liar.
Amen. Amen.
If you want to know Him, why aren't you in His book?
Amen.
I never heard no preacher talk like that. No, you never hold no pastor talk that way. A preacher will tell you you're a liar.
Amen.
You don't want to know it if you're not willing to read it.
Amen.
Come to Proverbs chapter a little bit further. Come to Proverbs chapter number 9. Stop off and back up Proverbs chapter 2. Let me give you this one first. Verse number 1. How hard do you look for it? How hard do you look for it? Seek and you shall find. Right?
Yes, sir.
How hard do you look? Well, preacher, I look. You don't find it in 15 minutes.
Right.
It takes a lifetime.
Yes,
well, if it's going to take a lifetime, I'll take my time. You know what? You Christians, you amaze me. You know what? You don't apply that in your life
right.
for a second.
Amen.
You give everything you've got to make money so that you can get something you want.
Right.
You pursue it, man, like a dog in heat.
Yes.
And when it comes to God, it's like, well, whenever. Well, yeah, I'll eventually get to it. Well, when I got everything else done. Comes to your family, comes to pursuing a wife or a husband or something like that. Oh, man, you wide open, boy. Pedal on the metal, let's let her rip. But boy, when it comes to God, it's like, yeah, you know, it's one of them things. How bad do you look for it? When's the last time you pushed the plate away for a day or two and sought God's face?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You mean fast? Yeah, that's what I mean. When's the last time that being a Christian was something that was sobering instead of a joke all the time?
Amen.
A fellow said to me not long ago, he said, I've listened to some of your stuff. There's not somebody here. He said, I don't see... he said, I know now why your church doesn't run 500 or 600 people. He said, on Sunday morning, you do the same thing you do on Sunday night. I said, no, I'm usually worse on Sunday morning. I said, I have Christians all the time tell me you need to be nice on Sunday morning. Why? And lie to them like you do? This ain't funny to me. This isn't funny to me at all. This is serious. People are dying and going to hell. I ain't going to hook them like you with some kind of a con game. You know, he's not. I am. I'm being nice. You tell me you love people and you won't tell them the truth about hell?
Amen.
You're a liar.
Amen.
Just because you don't want to tell them, don't make me hooked up with you.
Amen.
I'm not all the time running around with a big grin on my face like it's just, listen, I'm grieved about this. How come you're not?
Amen.
It bothers me in my own life.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I want to get better.
Amen.
I want to do something before God blows the horn or kills me one.
Me too. Amen.
Bless God, I don't want to sit on my fat butt
Amen.
And do nothing.
Right.
I'm just comfortable where I'm at. Well, you're better than most. Well, you're better than most. You sound like a cotton-picking television commercial for somebody knocking a ball in a hole. That's better than most. That's better than most. I don't want to be better than most. I want to be all God will allow me to be.
Amen.
I know what's holding me back. Me.
Amen.
Getting comfortable.
That's right. Yes,
sir. I like it. The Bible says this quickly, verse 1, my son, if notice the big if there, thou receive my words, if you will, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice with understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest, in other words, if you search for her as a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now you can go on down and read that thing all the way down through verse number 17. Look at verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul. Do you like the thing God's pointing out to you this morning? Is that pleasant to your soul? Do you appreciate it? You say you like the truth. Do you appreciate the truth this morning?
Amen.
Lazy, dead, rotten Christian?
That's right.
I don't like it at all. That's why we don't read the Bible.
Right.
But the soul says, now you know that's true.
Yes, sir. Amen.
What I love about the Bible more than anything else, more than all the little things you can find of all this and that and the other, what I love about the Bible is I realize when I read that Bible and it cross-grains me, I never have to stop to question that it's telling me the truth.
That's right.
Amen.
I know where the problem is.
Amen.
And I know where I read that thing. I figured this out this week. I was reading and I got up back. I'm back in Genesis now. And I'm coming through Genesis. And I'm reading there, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, you know, and this one begat so-and-so, and this one begat so-and-so, and all that. I'm not even in Chronicles yet. I'm talking about all the way back at the beginning of Genesis. Talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all that stuff, and Esau and the descendants and all that other kind of stuff coming through there. I figured it out. I know why God put that in there. Because you know what that flesh wanted to do? Well, I already know that. I don't want to jump over, the Lord said. My. You going to let your flesh tell you what to read? That's called Christian character. You can read it anyway. You say, why? Because I said every word of God, every word of God is precious. Every word of God is pure. But you know what that thing does? He puts it in there just to check you out.
Right. Amen.
You know what I did? That lazy, rotten, sorry, good-for-nothing flesh is wanting to cut a corner when it comes to reading the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
Well, if that was your lineage, you sure wouldn't want to cut it.
That's right. Amen.
God, I know why He put it in there. To check you.
Right.
It's not important to you, huh? I wrote it in there. It must be important. Well, Lord, that's not really important for me to know that.
Amen.
I got under conviction reading the cotton picking lineage of individuals.
Right.
Well, the Bible says you want to have some knowledge, you've got to seek after it. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to seek after it, I'll save the rest of it for tonight. If you're going to seek after it, it's going to cost you something.
Amen.
And so I'll tell you now, I'll tell you right now, you be nice in here, you be good Christians and all that, and you'll say, I appreciate the preacher telling us the truth, and thank God for a preacher that tells us the truth. You'll say all that until you get in the car. And then you'll start talking about how it was delivered and how many visitors it ran off because you're worried about what offering's going to come in and whether or not we can pay the bills. You know, you're looking out for the good of the people. Pray God will make you be a pastor one day and let you worry about the good of the people. There's one thing I know that you need more than a building. You need that. More than a pat on the head and a pat on the rump and a pat on the shoulder. You need that. If you don't want it, you don't want it, you're worried about, well, what do they think about me coming to a church like that? What are you worried about? What are you worried about?
Amen.
You want the knowledge? Cost you something.
Amen.
Father, bless your word this morning. I pray, God, you'll be with us in the upcoming service. Lord, thank you for these people being willing to come today. And I pray, God, that you'll deal with us along these lines as well as in the upcoming service. Lord, don't let it fall on deaf ears, I pray. Pray, God, you give me the ability to be able to put it across in a fashion that they have to knowingly and willingly reject it because it's so clear and plain.
Amen.
We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, a short break. We'll get started.